So a great place to start is to think back to your hottest sexual encounter. If I said to you, tell me the hottest time you had sex, what comes to mind? Maybe it was having sex in a hotel room with your partner and somebody almost walked in on you. And every time you think about that, you get really turned on. Well, those are some clues there. You're listening to Sex with Emily. I'm Dr. Emily, and I'm here to help you prioritize your pleasure and liberate the conversation around sex. In today's best of episode, I'm talking all about fantasies, specifically your fantasies, the ones you, the Sex with Emily community, shared with me, from threesomes to cuckolding to CNC, or consensual non-consent. I break down each one and also answer your top fantasy questions. What if you have a hard time visualizing your desires? What if you're nervous to try sex acts you've already done with previous partners? I get into all this and so much more in this episode. You're going to love it. Please rate and review Sex with Emily wherever you listen to the show. Please do it right now. It takes 2 seconds. Rate the show. The more you rate, the more ratings we have, the more people will find this episode and have better sex. My new article, How to Give a Sex Gift, is up on sexwithemily.com. And if you haven't seen them yet, I have 2 holiday gift guides out right now. One is on my Sex with Emily website, which we went through in last week's episode, and it has all of my favorites, literally 50 items in total of things that I truly, deeply love, have tried, are all about your pleasure. We've got sex toys, to hair products, to my favorite towels, my favorite jumpsuit. It just feels good and it's sexy. Candles, there will be something on there for everyone on your list. Watch out, Oprah. The other one is on my Shop with Emily site, and it has all my favorite sex toy recommendations. So check that out. It's shopsexwithemily.com. Check them all out. And there's discounts. I'm going to link both in the show notes. All right, everyone, enjoy this episode. Attention, pleasure seekers. What if I told you there was a toy that was so iconic that it practically set the standard for all my favorite products? Allow me to introduce or reintroduce to you the Magic Wand. Dubbed the Cadillac of Vibrators, the Magic Wand is more than just a toy. It's a culture icon, a symbol of power and unapologetic pleasure. I mean, do you know any other toys that have been praised in Time magazine? Didn't think so. With a unique rumble that resonates deep within, the Magic Wand Original is not just a product, it's a trusted confidant. And it's a sure thing. Never had an orgasm? Try a magic wand. Never given your party a full body massage? Try the magic wand. Listen, it's rightfully earned accolades like Vibrator of the Year for decades. I've been so obsessed with my magic wand, I even drilled holes in my bedside table so that she's always next to me in case I need her. Well, that was years ago. Because now there are multiple iterations of the magic wand, allowing you to pick whatever model fits your lifestyle. You can go wireless with the magic wand rechargeable, tiny with the magic wand mini, or micro. Micro is really mini. Or go for variety with the Magic Wand Plush. The best part though, all of them have the same powerful orgasmic rumble that made the original so popular. So if you're ready to make some magic, visit sexwithemily.com/magicwand and discover why the Magic Wand continues to cast a spell on the world. Magic Wand, not just a vibrator, an icon of pleasure. All right, today's show, we're talking sexual fantasies. Do you ever think about it? Like, why don't we talk about sexual fantasies? Why don't we share these with our partner? Are you embarrassed? Are you afraid that they're really taboo? Well, here's the thing I want to tell you about fantasies. First off, almost everyone has them. And if you don't have them, well, I'm going to inspire you and let you know how you can kind of sort of channel your fantasies. But it gives us valuable data. Like, when we know what our fantasies are, well, then we know what turns us on. So I wanted to ask you, I went to you, our Sex with Emily community, and I asked you on Instagram, tell us, what are your go-to sexual fantasies? And we got so many responses. It was quite amazing. I love you guys because you are so honest and so real. Because I also asked you, okay, what's your top fantasies? But then we asked you, what's the fantasy that you don't want to share with anybody? And well, you told us those as well. So thank you to all of you. Here are the results. This is your top fantasies. Ready? Number one, threesomes. So this is really common. So a lot of the fantasies that the Sex with Emily community had are also top fantasies universally. We also have some data to back this up. Justin Laymiller, who's been a guest on the show, he's a Kinsey Institute research fellow, laid down the data and he said that 95% of men and 80% of women said they'd fantasize about sex with multiple partners. So you're not alone here. And there's many arrangements. For some, it's all men, all women, two men, one woman, two women, one man, all the combinations, right? Why is threesomes the fantasy that is the most common? Do you ever think about that? There's many reasons why this is a common fantasy. First off, it's just something different, right? You can have sex with one person all the time, but you add someone else, you're like, wow, look at all these other body parts to play with. There's another set of breasts. There's another penis. There's another vulva. How fun is that? It's novelty, which a lot of us are craving, novelty in relationships, especially if we've been with someone for a while and we're like, okay, let me just try something new here. I've been with your penis for a long time. Like, here's another one. But besides just trying something new, it's also, you know, because it still is really taboo, right? We want to try things that are just not really accepted. So there's different motivations for threesomes or why we have these fantasies. But I just want to cover something first, is that because it's a top fantasy, remember there are two kinds of fantasies. There's the fantasies that you actually want to happen, and there's the fantasies that you just like to talk about, that you like to fantasize about. And that's okay too. But since threesomes is the most popular, I find that it's also the one that people actually want to try. And so I can't tell you how many questions I get from the community over the years about threesomes. But let me remind you of this, is that you should never be pressured into having a threesome. And even though one of the top motivators is people do it for their partners, it's an altruistic fantasy and deed essentially to please their partner, you have to make sure that you're on board with it as well. Because in just as many cases that threesomes can spark this incredible experience for partners in a relationship, you don't want to be something that you're going to regret, that you're going to hold against your partner. Why'd you make me have this threesome? Why did we do this? You don't want it to become something that can tear a relationship apart. And this happens when people don't actually talk about it. They don't set rules. They don't set boundaries. They don't set guidelines. So I have very specific rules about how to go about having a threesome. I'll get into that in a minute. But let's just talk about the biological urge. What is the urge? Like, why are we all craving threesomes? So for a penis owner, if you're heterosexual, it could just be intriguing. Again, it's twice the body parts to enjoy sexually. There's also the biological urge to procreate with as many vulva owners as possible, to spread your genes. You're like, well, I can have sex with one vulva or two. And then for vulva owners, you know, this desire could be tied to strength, to finding the best possible genes out there for offspring. And therefore, our offspring has a better chance for survival. So subconsciously, there may be less benefit here, but if you want to get into the biology of fantasy, which I always think of sex, but I always think is fascinating, those are some reasons. It's like finding the most suitable mate. All right, so how do you do it? How do you actually have a threesome if this is your fantasy? Well, like I said, you have to have a conversation. You do not want to have a threesome to fix your relationship. I don't want to hear like our sex life has become really, really dull, so we're going to have a threesome to spice it up. That never works. Threesomes are the most successful in relationships where you're already on solid ground. You've had lots of conversations about your sex life, about your fantasies, about what turned you both on. And then you're like, well, maybe this would be really hot to try a threesome. And in that case, I want you both to talk about it ad nauseum. Talk about it like, what is it going to look like? How would we find our partner? Where are we going to find our partner? Like, set boundaries and rules around it. And another great place to kind of practice is in the bedroom. Use dirty talk. Like, talk it out, like right now, like when you're having sex, you could talk it out or you could sext it and say, I'm picturing right now someone else is going down on you and I find that really hot. And then you could test it and say, does this feel really hot to me? Am I getting jealous? Did I think it was a turn on to fantasize about, but in reality, it might not be so hot. That's why I highly recommend role-playing it as well. Check off all those boxes, play with it, talk about it, and get clear with yourself. Like, why am I doing this? Am I only doing it for my partner, but there's nothing about it that turns me on? Then no, threesome is not for you. But if you've been interested, intrigued, and you both kind of decided that you're going to try it out with another person because you both want to see how that would feel, then you're good. And just remember, consent is really important. Make sure that everybody feels good about this, even the third partner. And also, I want to say this. I'm talking about partnered threesomes, but it's really hot to be. Some of the hottest threesomes are when you're not paired, when you're just sort of with a friend that maybe you have a friends with benefits relationship with, and then you meet somebody else. So my best threesomes were not planned out. I was not in a relationship, and they were with people that I knew and trusted, but it wasn't like a committed relationship. And those can be really fun too. Just make sure it's consensual. We do have a success story from Sex with Dummy listener, Adrian, 30 in Washington, D.C., she sent me a message and she said, I'm writing in response to your story about turning a fantasy into reality. Long story short, I've recently started hooking up with girls too and getting more comfortable with my bisexuality. So I've long had the fantasy of a threesome, MFF, or a male, female, female threesome. So one night, a female friend was over and we ended up hooking up. That same night, a guy I knew randomly texted me asking what's up and asked to grab drinks and catch up. And I decided to respond with, want to come over and have a threesome instead, winky face. We ended up getting a hotel room and had the most fun threesome together that night. It was actually really successful. Not as awkward as expected, and we all really enjoyed it. Already looking forward to another one sometime soon. So like I said, some of the best are random and not planned at all. So the second most common fantasy is CNC, or consensual non-consensual sex. If you're going, what are you talking about? How is something consensual and non-consensual? Well, in other words, we're talking about forced sex. It's a fantasy that is around you are being forced to have sex. And so the disclaimer here about content, we are going to have some mentions of sexual violence. And if that's not for you, please feel free to skip ahead. Now, some people are very opposed to talk about CNC and to even engage in CNC because it makes light of actual trauma, which I totally understand. Everyone, that's the great thing about sex and about our fantasy life is that we get to decide what feels good for us, what works for us, and we don't want to shame others for having their fantasies, right? One of my big messages here, always for all of you, is that so much suffering around sex comes from this external pressure we feel from this mythical society that's going to come knock on our door like the sex police and be like, I can't believe you had a fantasy about this. You are wrong. You are evil. Well, guess what? That person doesn't exist. That's not going to happen. And we all get to decide what works for us and what turns us on. And we're all going to have much better, much more enjoyable, pleasurable sex that way. So let's get into it because it's such a common fantasy. I wanted to break it down for you and give you some facts. So what is it? So like I said, CNC, it's consensual, non-consensual sex. So it's a type of BDSM play. Coercive sex, forced sex, sometimes people call it the rape fantasy. In most cases, it's a case of a vulva owner having sex against her will with a penis owner. And I just have to say that I am not saying that we want to be raped at all. We're just saying that we have this fantasy. And the Journal of Sexual Research said that 62% of women report having this fantasy and many fantasize about it multiple times a year. So why are people into it? All right, let me say again, nothing to do at all with wanting to be or having experience with rape. There's a few reasons. There's something about feeling that you're in danger, right? Like our adrenaline gets pumping and like I'm in danger, but there's not really a risk. Like just that heightened scenario can be really hot. It's the same reason why people like power play. They like dominance and submission. That's just hot. And this is just another way to play with that. There's something really sexy about relinquishing control and saying, you know what? This person wants me so badly and I have no control over their lust, over their desire. They're going to ravish me and I am just innocent victim. And there's something really hot about this pretend scenario. That's like unconstrained sexuality. But I'm also going to say that a lot of vulva owners have a lot of guilt around sexuality. They have guilt around having this fantasy. They have guilt around having desire at all. A lot of vulva owners walk around feeling guilty that we are just sexual. Like, I'm a bad person. And there's a lot of reasons for that. It could be the way we grew up. Maybe we grew up in a home that was not supportive of us being sexual. So this particular fantasy says, well, you know what? It's out of my hands. This person wants me so badly, I can't do anything about it. I'm absolved of all my guilt. There are a lot of people who have been victims of assault and of rape, and they have learned through really wonderful, intense trauma therapy and working with somebody that they can actually use this fantasy as erotic fodder. They've been able to kind of take control of that narrative around that trauma and use it for their own eroticism and their own turn-ons. And it's kind of like saying, fuck you to my trauma and saying, you know what? I'm not going to let you control my sexuality. I'm going to do some work on myself and I'm going to use this horrible thing that happened to me and make it hot. And that's all okay too. Because as you can imagine, somebody who has been a victim of this can feel guilt about that too. They're like, not only was this my biggest trauma, but now I'm using it as a turn on. And again, you know what I say to that? Let that go. All I want for all of you and why I'm doing this show right now in this episode is because I want you all to understand your fantasies, to know that they are your friend and how to use them in a really sex positive way. That's going to be healing for all. All right. So how do we do this? You want to find a partner you trust. You want to communicate clear boundaries, and you definitely don't want to do it with alcohol or drugs, and you want to find a safe word. Okay. So here's some examples. You could have like a pretend fight. You could like recreate angry sex, because angry sex, why do we love angry sex or makeup sex? Because you get that adrenaline, right? You get that sense of adrenaline, but you could recreate that. Get yourself turned on. You're getting physical. That feels like a little physical fight. That could be your turn on. Maybe it's like a burglar with a homeowner. Someone breaks in and ties you up and says like, you know, hey, you know, I didn't know you were here. And it's a whole pretend scenario. There's also like Sleeping Beauty. Maybe you're sleeping and your partner comes in and wakes you up. Kidnapper, victim, play with all of these. Find what turned you on to make this fantasy a reality. The sex family community's number three top fantasy is cuckolding and hot wifing. All right, what? You might be saying like, what is cuckolding? What is hot wifing? Essentially, it's a fantasy of a guy getting turned on by his wife or girlfriend sleeping with someone else. And let me just give you a little disclaimer here, because this specific fantasy is related to the institution of marriage and commitment between a man and a wife. So obviously any gender can play with this fantasy and has this fantasy, any combination of gender identities. But I'm going to be talking in terms of wife and husband and man and woman here. All right. So hot wife, essentially, it is a married woman who has sex outside of the marriage and her husband is down with it. In fact, it's a big source of his pleasure. He takes such pleasure in knowing that other guys find his wife attractive. And it's grown in recent years. People are talking about it more. You'll see it on the apps. I'm into hot wifing. I'm into cuckolding. So this is a really common one. But the next one is cuckolding. This one is similar, but in this case, the husband has pleasure, but it's usually the source of that pleasure comes from humiliation. And that's the humiliation of watching his wife with somebody else. So the husband might even have less control here. He might be tied up or watching from a video camera, and it's a little bit more shameful. He might be picking partners that have a larger penis or feels that this person's way more attractive than he is, but it sort of flips the humiliation and becomes a source of his arousal. So he might not even have any choice or say about it, who the partner is, but she's like, I'm sleeping with somebody else and this is the deal. So why are people into it? Why is this a fantasy? Well, first, it is taboo, right? We all love those taboos. But if you think about it, our society idealizes monogamy. No other relationship scenario is accepted. In fact, you get like a tax break if you are monogamous. But being like polyamorous or swingers or cuckolding, like that is not a narrative that flows easily. So we like things that are a little bit out there, a little bit different. And for some of us, we might get aroused by jealousy. Like being jealous might actually be a turn on. If you link this to biology, there's a possibility of watching your wife with somebody else can turn a guy on because they can compete and beat their sperm for fertilization, which is very, very risky. Think about it. Like this other partner could get my partner pregnant, and that is like scary slash humiliating slash hot. So how do you even do this? Well, first, everything I've told you about threesomes and trying new things in a relationship, it all comes back to communication. You got to talk about this a lot before it happens. Are you just watching? Are you involved? How do you find a third? The fourth fantasy that we heard from the sex dummy community is being dominated, power dynamics. So this came from all genders, all gender preferences, and that is the desire to be dominated, essentially power play. One person has more power than the other one. Dominant, submissive play. So pegging, for example. This was another common subcategory here where the penis owner is being penetrated by a vulva owner using a strap-on or a dildo. And what was really great to hear is that a lot of vulva owners are interested in doing the pegging. And then penis owners want to be pegged. And I love that pegging's on the rise because it can be really, really hot for a penis owner to be penetrated anally because the prostate can feel amazing. And it's for everybody who has one, right? Doesn't matter your gender, your sexual orientation. It can feel amazing to be pegged. So why are people into this? There's just something really a turn on about relinquishing control. And I'm not saying that your partner is like superior to you or you're really weak when you're relinquishing control. And in fact, the sub holds the power in relationships because the sub is deciding what's going to happen, what's not going to happen. Especially if you're somebody who is in control in every other area of your life. Maybe you have a really intense job or you're running the household. And when you get into the bedroom, you're like, I just want to relinquish control. And as one woman described it, it's like a vacation. I don't have to manage anything and I don't have to be in charge. And also it's just really vulnerable too. So here's a success story that we got from Mike 36 in Denver. Hey, Dr. Emily, I've been listening to your show for a short period of time. And during the weekend, I used your suggestion. I overcame my fear and explained to my wife of 8 years that I'm a submissive by nature. And I gave her permission to make our sex life more about her pleasure and to be dominant in nature. Her reaction was incredibly positive. And since then, we've discussed a number of topics I would never have imagined we would have discussed this time last week. She's already started to incorporate small acts of dominance into our play, and she is worryingly, LOL, a natural. I can't wait to see where this leads. All right. I love this story. Thank you, Mike, for letting me know this. And I just want to like highlight something here. His wife of 8 years, he couldn't have imagined a week ago that she would have been willing to live out his fantasy. And all he did was have a conversation with her. He's listened to the show, so he did it honestly. And he probably followed by 3 T's, timing, tone, and turf, and he knew how to talk about it. But let me remind you that talking about fantasies and sharing your authentic turn-ons with your partner really helps enhance intimacy and helps with your communication and every other area of your relationship. You know, you both were trying roles that you weren't used to, and seeing your partner trying something new that's actually about your pleasure is really a turn on. And I'm sure it's going to enhance other areas of your relationship as well. So how do we do this fantasy? How do we act out being more dominant in our relationships? Get a sense of which role you might be into, dom or sub. It's okay to be a switch. You want to negotiate the scenes. You want to use a safe word. So check out the article for more guidance. So those are the top fantasies. And just so you know, those were from the Sex with Emily community, but they also mirror a lot of research and studies that have been done on fantasies overall. Now, I noticed some common threads in your fantasies here. And well, they involved other people, like threesomes and cuckolding. And a lot of you talked about exhibitionism. You want to bring someone else in. And some of you want to turn a negative experience that you might be having into a more positive experience. And that would be like CNC or humiliation and finding some seemingly negative or less erotic scenarios, but making them hot. And I love seeing all the creativity that you have in fantasies as well. And what I hope you're getting so far before I get into your questions is that there should be no shame in your fantasies, and that having a rich fantasy life is part of having an overall healthy sex life. And in many cases, just talking about it with your partner is one way to make it all happen. And I just want everyone to have, you know, no shame in this and be willing and feeling more encouraged and inspired to explore. So I hope you take that away. Stay right where you are. I'll be right back after a quick break for our sponsors who help support this podcast, including Laylo. They make beautiful, award-winning luxury sex toys that look so good on your nightstand and they feel great on your body. They have this one that I am loving. It's one of their most popular toys, Sona 2 Travel, which is perfect for anyone who's traveling this holiday season. So what it does is it uses Laylo's signature Sensonic technology to simulate the feeling of oral sex. It resonates deep into the internal structures of the clitoris. It's one of these like suction toys that just gives you an entirely new sensation. And if you have sensitivity in your vulva or clitoris, this is the toy for you because it's somehow, it's not really making direct contact, but it's still really powerful. And it's travel safe, meaning it is discreet. It's quiet, but it's powerful. This is just a precious, adorable little nugget of a toy. I love this toy. So if you want to treat yourself to one of Laylo's amazing toys, go to laylo.com. Use code SEXWITHEMILY at checkout to get 25% off site-wide. That's LELO.com. Use code SEXWITHEMILY for 25% off or just click the link in our show notes. All right, everyone, I'll be right back. The there's nothing quite like sinking your teeth into a good sandwich. But listen, carb guilt is real. I'm someone who's very invested in my health, and I like to get my carbs from oats and beans and fruits and not bread. But I love bread. So here's my hack. Thanks to Hero Bread, you can enjoy your favorite bready delights without the carb consequences. Hero Bread has turned those carby, empty-calorie bread products into fluffy, delicious breads that boast 0 to 1 net carbs per serving, 0 grams of sugar, and are packed with loads of fiber and protein. The first time I tried their white bread, I was skeptical. Could it really taste good with such impressive nutritional stats? Well, I'm pleasantly surprised to say it absolutely does. The texture is just phenomenal. It's like this soft, airy, and it just toasts up like a dream. I've whipped up everything from grilled cheese to PB&J and even made enchiladas, wraps, and tacos with their tortillas. Each time, Hero Bread has been a game changer. And here's a kicker. Despite its light texture and great taste, Hero Bread fits perfectly into my health goals. It's been adding more fiber to my diet while keeping the sugar at bay. Whether I'm packing a picnic lunch, planning a road trip snack, which I often do, or prepping French toast for breakfast, Hero Bread is my go-to. So whether you're craving a classic sandwich, a burger, or a hearty bun, or even indulging in a low net carb croissant, Hero Bread is something for everyone. And I highly recommend checking their monthly small batch drops out so you can try goodies like the 1 gram net carb Hero Cheddar Biscuit and so much more. You won't believe what they have. So you ready to kick carb guilt to the curb? Head over to hero.co and snag 10% off your order with the code Emily. That's Emily at hero.co. This is from Tim, 27, in Long Island. Hey, Dr. Emily, I'm 27. My girlfriend's 27, and we've been together 5 years, have a very healthy sex life. We have sex often, mutual masturbation, we've got toys, all the things. However, she seems to have a tough time fantasizing and feels as though she just can't visualize things. And I've tried talking her through different fantasies that I've had. I talk about other men she finds attractive to help her get over that. She's tried audio porn. Any ideas to help her get over that hump and be able to develop fantasies? Thanks, and I love, love, love your show. I've learned so much and it's opened tons of doors for me sexually. All right. Thank you, Tim, for your question. I so appreciate you, and I love that the show has helped you. I'm glad this question came up because this is a really common question. We all probably have something that we might find hot or a turn on, but some people's fantasies are really elaborate. Some people just do it naturally, and some people need a little bit more fodder, and they need to kind of look at their lives a little bit differently to see like what's a kernel of something that turns them on and they find erotic. I mean, I don't know if this speaks to your partner, Tim, but for a lot of us, it just doesn't come naturally, and that's okay. So a great place to start is to think back to your hottest sexual encounter. If I said to you, tell me the hottest time you had sex, what comes to mind? Maybe it was having sex in a hotel room with your partner and somebody almost walked in on you. And every time you think about that, you get really turned on. Well, those are some clues there. Every time that you think back to a sexual memory, think back, like, was it that you were afraid of getting caught? So then you know, oh, well, maybe I can apply that to other scenarios. Maybe I should experiment with some like porn or audio erotica or even just making up stories, like sexting with a partner or sharing this with them. You might be able to find some scenarios in there that you find really, really hot. Another common fantasy might be your partner was just going down on you and you weren't having to do anything else. Well, maybe there could be a night then where you're like, you know what? I just want to have a night where you're just going down on me or giving me a massage. And then next week I'll do that to you. So maybe you felt such a release and you felt all the pressure was off of you when you were only being served, right? So these little clues will help you cultivate your sexual fantasies. So pay attention to them. And that's how we can all start to develop a richer fantasy life. Okay. This is from Shannon, 27, in Oregon. Hey, Dr. Emily, my name is Shannon. I'm 27 years old, and my partner, cis man, is 1.5 years younger than me, and we've been together for a little over a year. I'm having issues talking with him about sex and things that I would like to explore. So my partner's been in several 2 to 3 year-long relationships before we got together, and I've been in about 2 year-long relationships before dating him. Well, a few months into our relationship, we started talking about what we fantasize about or were interested in trying sexually. And it became clear to me that he's experienced so much more than me sexually, and that intimidates me. Now, there's certain things I want to try, but I know he's already done them, and the thought of trying them with him makes me feel very vulnerable. he's told me that it's hard not to compare our relationship to his previous relationship, and I'm insecure about being compared to them. I know just saying these things to him will give them less power over me, but do you have any advice on how to approach the conversation and where we should go from here? Thanks. Thank you so much, Shannon, for your email. So just to sum this up real quick, it sounds like first, you guys are in a good place. You talk about your fantasies, what you want to try sexually, which is all really good information for me to have and also really good for your relationship. So what I want to hone in on here, though, is that it sounds like you were sharing information and then you got in your head about it and it started to sort of stoke some jealousy and some insecurities. You start comparing yourself to his previous partners, and then you get in your head and nothing feels good here. And then he said to you, well, I can't help but compare you to my previous partners, which also doesn't feel good. So let's just talk about this because it's really a lot of times our jealousies and our insecurities are more about us. Now, where it could also stem from is your past experiences in relationships. I'm curious, has something happened in your past? Did you have a partner that maybe made you feel less than or you felt less than in the relationship? You know, are you having challenges around your self-confidence overall? How have you been feeling lately? Because sometimes this has, again, more to do with what we're working on in ourselves than your partner. Because remember, he's with you. He's not with his ex. He could be with his ex, perhaps. I mean, I don't know. But I like to think that our exes for a reason, right? We can all kind of think it's a few good memories with them, but there's a reason why he's with you having these conversations. So I think you have to remember that. And so I think it's important when you're having this conversation with him, because you're asking me how to communicate better with him, is just to be really honest. And it's okay to be vulnerable and say, you know what? When you talk about these past experiences, I start to feel vulnerable and it makes me feel insecure. And you could say, you know, I feel like I won't live up to her, but I'm in this and I love you and I love our relationship and I really want to, you know, make this work. You understand that shedding light on the things that we hold in the dark can set us free. And so I'm just thinking that the more honest and vulnerable you are around that, the easier it will be for you guys to kind of clear that and say, all right, so what are we going to try together? Because once you can put your energy towards creating a really hot situation with your partner, and once you spend more energy on building this hot connection with him, your thoughts about this ex and all the other things are just going to kind of slowly fade away, because it really does over time. But it's the power that you're giving to him by thinking about it and sort of ruminating over it that is triggering you. And I also want to say that remember that every time we're with a new partner, it's almost like we can wipe clean the slate from the past and you're starting new. It's the two of you together creating a new sexual scenario. So you get to start again. Every time we have sex with someone is a new experience because it's the two of you. So whatever he created with his ex and whatever you had with your ex will never be the same with somebody else. So it's something new and exciting that you both get to create. You know, a great exercise is to kind of journal about things and think about the things that your partner does love about you and appreciate about you. And sometimes it's really helpful to have these notes just to reflect back to when we're feeling insecure and we're not feeling great about ourselves, is to think about all the great things that you do have. So while you recognize that these, you know, negative voices might be coming up in your head, you can also go back to, you know, journaling or some words that allow you to remember that you guys are in this together and you're trying to create a new sexual relationship. I think that, again, talking to him, being honest and vulnerable, and then saying, all right, I cleared that out. Now, what can we try next? What do we want to do together? And that's going to help build confidence just by talking about it. And then just saying, you know what? This is hard for me, but I want to start experiencing new things. I want to start trying new things in the bedroom with you. And then after a while, you're going to feel this stronger connection with your partner, and you won't even be thinking about the past. All right. Thank you so much, Shannon, for your email. I appreciate you. This is from Scott, 51, in New York. Hey, Dr. Emily, my wife and I have been married for 26 years. We're both in our early 50s. I still have a high sex drive and she really doesn't. We talked recently and she understands she's trying. I respect and appreciate that, but what is still missing is fulfilling my fantasies. She never asks, never tries, even though she knows some of them because I've told her, but there's no effort, no desire or passion for fulfilling them. She never has fantasies, desires, or anything. She's happy with the basics of what we do. I want more. I've always just accepted the status quo, but I'd really like more and don't know how to go about it. Is it normal for her to have no desires or fantasies? I want her to have wants and desires so I can make them a reality. I've brought toys and she was okay with one of them. And another one she tossed back to me and said she was tired and wanted to sleep. And one of them has been in my nightstand for 2.5 years and she's never asked me about it. I buy lingerie. She doesn't wear it. Not her style. I'm like, it's new. Let's try it. Nope. I'm feeling stuck wanting more and knowing it will never happen. I've never heard of people not having fantasies before and not wanting to do them for a partner. She doesn't need to try all of them, but maybe a couple of them. Just looking for advice on what to do next. Help. All right. Thank you for your question, Scott. Wow, you've been together for 26 years, so congratulations on that. And first, I'm wondering, what was your sexual relationship like at the beginning of the relationship? Did it sort of wane over time? Have you ever been able to talk to her about your sex life previously and there were some improvements, or are you just starting right now, 26 years in? Because we all get really, really set in our ways. You have to remember that. You guys have a dynamic going, and I'm going to think that she wants to be a great lover to you. I just make these assumptions. If we're with partners for a while and we're loving and we care about them, she probably does want that for you, but maybe she doesn't really understand how to go about it. So that's when we lob these requests to our partners and we're like, hey, let's do these fantasies, or hey, let's try something new in the bedroom. They're just like, yeah, I might, or I would, or maybe even no. There's a few things going on here in long-term relationships. Either you guys haven't paved the groundwork for talking about sex, which is actually more common than not. So now she's hearing you having these requests about fantasies. And she's like, whatever happened to our sex life? Like, I don't even know what to do with this. This is not who I am. I don't know how to reenact these fantasies or what to do for you. Like, she really might not actually know what to do about it. But I think maybe if you could reframe the conversation with her and say, you know what? I know I've made these requests, and it seems like none of them have happened. And I just want to talk to you about our sex life. And I want to know, are you interested in becoming great lovers to each other? Is this something that you would like to do? Because I think we can start now thinking about the things that, you know, we want to do, we want to try. Because if she's just saying, no, I don't want to do anything, I don't want to focus on our sex life, well, to me, that is going to take some therapy. Then resentments are building, there's frustrations, she doesn't know how to please you. And I'm afraid to tell you that you're not going to be able to break through here with some of my typical advice, which would be have a conversation, do the yes, no, maybe list, find out what her top fantasies are, what her hottest sexual moments are in your relationship. What it's sounding to me is like she just doesn't want to talk about sex. She's not really interested in it right now. That's why it might take a little bit of therapy and some help with somebody who can help facilitate these conversations so you can really get to the bottom of like, what is it about talking about sex? What is it about trying new things in the bedroom? You know, maybe there are some triggers around it. Maybe she thinks that you're going to want to do things that might be against something that she believes in. I'm not sure what those are. Maybe she feels bad about her body right now. Maybe she's having some pain. You know, I remember there was a caller once who just said he kept trying and trying and he was on the brink of divorce with his partner for years. He was like, babe, what do you want to do? And what's going on? And she wouldn't talk about it. And finally, she was like, I have pain. I have pain during sex. And I was too afraid to tell you. And sure enough, they went. She went to see a pelvic floor physical therapist. She went and got in hormone replacement therapy. And like, she was able to be an incredible sexual lover to him. And they were having sex way more frequently. And they didn't end up getting divorced. So sometimes there's things going on that we don't even know about. So I'm wondering if the approach here would be to talk to her about stuff that less to do with your fantasy life and more to do with what is going to turn her on sexually. Like, maybe we need to scale it back. So maybe taking the pressure off of her to kind of fulfill some sexual fantasy, but to kind of start with ground zero and say, let's just commit that after all these years together, we both want to be great lovers to each other. And we both want to, you know, figure out ways to enhance our intimacy and make sure that we can continue going the distance for another 25 years. All right, Scott, thanks for your question. I appreciate you. And let me know how it goes. That's it for today's episode. See you on Friday. Thanks for listening to Sex with Emily. Be sure to like, subscribe, and give us a review wherever you listen to the podcast and share this with a friend or partner. You can find me on YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at Sex with Emily. Oh, I've been told I give really good email. So sign up at sexwithemily.com. And while you're there, check out my free guides and articles for more ways to prioritize your pleasure. If you'd like to ask me about your sex life, dating, or relationships, call my hotline, 559-TALK-SEX. That's 559-825-5739. Or go to sexwithemily.com/askemily. Special thanks to Acast for powering the Sex with Emily podcast. Was it good for you?